We'll try to pick up a little speed here since it's a little late in the afternoon. This presentation has basically three parts. There's a little bit of background again, which I'll kind of speed through a little bit faster than I had planned, about the updated results, the general performance of this FMP more recently. And then I do have a quick summary of some of the 25 specification alternatives, and then particular attention to the committee motions that were made in November. We do have some preliminary analyses of some of those new ideas that were brought forward, and I'll just review them generally so you have a sense, but as Mary Beth mentioned, you don't have to make any decisions today. There are five committee motions. The first three basically are related to the specifications themselves in terms of the allocation alternatives, and then the last two are kind of more refinements of some of the measures to further reduce impacts, particularly on small scallops in Delmarva. Very briefly, the biomass overall is pretty stable from last year based on the updated surveys that went on in the scallop fishery. Exploitable biomass, however, that's the scallops that are harvestable by the gear, is lower than last year, about 15% lower. And on top of that, almost over a third of those that are actually suitable for the gear are within closures. So these are the driving forces behind why catches are lower than last year. All of these things combined have also been a part or a factor of the fact that the estimate of F that we had from last year came in a lot higher than we were expecting, or what the target F was for the area. The overall performance of the FMP generally in terms of staying within the OFL has been successful for the most part. The fishery since 2011 has been basically at 90 or 100% of the associated ACLs for this fishery. However, the realized F has been higher than what our targets have been set at. So basically, so far, at least the buffers that we have in place for this FMP seem to be needed. We have basically been coming in higher than what our targets have been pretty consistently each year, in the 20 to 30% higher than we expect. Some years it's due to the biomass being lower than we think, and some years it's because the catch per unit effort is off and the catch is higher than we expect. So this is more than random error. We talked about this at the last council meeting, and it will be looked into in greater detail at the upcoming benchmark assessment. So how do we set specs in this fishery? Very quickly, Amendment 15 several years ago did modify the overfishing definition used in this fishery, as well as the method that's been set up for setting the target fishing rates for the plan. This hybrid system, if you recall, if you were on the council at that time, was primarily put in place to help protect the resource from growth overfishing. Basically, the overfishing definition and the reference points associated with them did not change. The same way that we do the status determination for this stock has remained the same in terms of overfishing and when the stock is overfished. However, the method for how we set this target F has basically been refined for the last few years. In the traditional before Amendment 15 method for setting the target F, basically the more of the resource that was in closures, we would set the open areas fishing targets higher to compensate for these closures. Under the hybrid approach instead, there are several different principles that govern how we set the fishing targets. The first one is that the open areas cannot be set any higher than FMSY, which is 0.38. So that's one cap on the target fishing principle. The second one, for the access areas in particular, is it's more of a time average principle. Some years they're closed, some years they're open, and you're actually temporarily allowed to set higher Fs than MSY to harvest those yields when they're ready. The third principle is that the combination of all areas, whether they're closed or open, cannot exceed what we have associated with the ACT level for this fishery, and that is a 25% chance of exceeding the ABC. And that, combined, again, all areas, open or closed, cannot exceed 0.28. So all three of these things interact differently, and in some years impact our target fishing levels differently depending on where the resource is in a particular year. I'm going to kind of skip over this because it takes a while to go through, and we have gone through it a few times at this council level. But this is just for you to kind of have reference so you can see how things trickle down once you get past the SSC, setting the OFL, which was a presentation before mine, how everything else is trickled down through the fishery. These are values for 14 based on the values you just heard from the SSC report, how things would kind of shake down. In terms of by area, taking that amount, the scallop fishery, as you know, is very spatial. This is an estimate basically of the projected landings. Using those same principles that I just went through, the scallop plan development team basically takes those principles and comes up with a projected landings by area. These are the different Georges Bank Open, Mid-Atlantic Open, the various access areas that could potentially be available to the fishery next year, and an estimate in metric tons from each of those areas, and then the total. You'll see the target Fs are in the right-hand column, and you can see they vary depending on the different areas, but when you combine the Georges Bank and the Mid-Atlantic Open areas together, spatially they do average and stay below that 0.38. And in this particular year, that is the constraint on this fishery in terms of the overall specifications. That's the total amount that would be capped because that 0.38 has been reached. In 2016, when a lot of these mid-Atlantic access areas reopen, that constraint will actually flip, and it will become the combined 0.28 will actually become the constraint for this fishery, and you won't see these same values associated with the open areas. And I'm only going through this with so much detail because some of the committee motions that will follow later in the presentation are based on some of these issues. So those are basically, just to backtrack, these are the values we brought to the advisors and the committee in November. If you recall, I didn't have these final projections in September, and so the November meeting was the first time that the advisors and the committee started to finally see these values. And this is the total projected catch for the fishery, basically, is 14,000 metric tons and change. So again, I don't want to go through this slide in detail. It's even too hard to read on the screen, but it's a place for you to see how the rest of the values trickle down for the fishery, for the different components and the different set-asides that have been set up for this fishery. Very briefly, converted it into millions of pounds, the projected catch for next year would be 31.7 million pounds. From last year, 2013 fishing year, projected catch was 38.2. So we are down about 17% reduction from last year. When I brought these numbers to the advisors and the committee last month, I would say it was not a very satisfying meeting. So people began discussing, well, what can we do about this within our constraints of the targets we have for setting our fishing targets. The main driver behind this level of catch, as I mentioned before, what I have circled here, everything else is actually pretty similar in terms of the set-aside amounts and the general category allocations, and that's because the total biomass is actually quite similar from 2012 to 2013. But what's actually available to the fishery and not within a closed area is different this year, and it's much lower than usual in terms of a percentage. So, as I mentioned, about 35% of the exploitable scallops are actually closed to the fishery. So when you get to the limited access portion, their ACT is based on what's available to the fleet and not in a closed area. So that's why you see a larger difference in terms of what their ACL is and what their target catch has been set at. So basically the PDT, after we got these projections in late September, we started working on some alternatives. So you have the no action, you always have the no action. Alternative two is basically what I just walked through, which is within the target fishing constraints that we have within the methods we've set up. These is what the allocations would end up becoming to get to that target catch. It would be 23 days at sea for full-time limited access vessels and two 12,000-pound trips that would be divided between three potential areas. They would be allocated by lottery, and vessels could trade their trips. The advisors had another suggestion for an alternative three, which would be basically to treat Delmarva a little bit differently. We're a little more uncertain about the biomass in Delmarva. It is a little bit smaller, and whether it's quite ready for access is a little bit more in question. So there's one alternative where a vessel could actually choose if they're going to take a trip in Delmarva or get 5 open area days at sea. So that's the third alternative. But still at this point, and just to point out, the general category allocation remains the same under any of these scenarios because their allocation is directly coming from the ACL, and it's a allocation split, and it's not as directly impacted as the limited access allocation, which is more based on what's open to the fishery. As I mentioned, these were brought to the committee and advisors in mid-November, and basically a few motions were passed following those meetings requesting the PDT to consider several new specification alternatives. The two motions on the board basically are what you're considering today. Do you agree that they should be considered in Framework 25 for the PDT to continue analyzing? The first one, basically the spirit of it, is instead of being limited by that one principle that would cap open area effort at 0.38, which is the catch that I showed you before, instead of using that as a constraint, instead basically allow open area catch to increase to a level that would be equal to 2013 projected catch levels. So basically let those days at sea allocations increase until you get to 2014 catch. However, still keep in mind that other principle that wouldn't allow the total F to exceed 0.28 when you combined all the areas together. So you would still have that part of the fishing mortality target principle in place as sort of a backstop. This motion passed at the committee, and it was recommended originally by the advisors the day before. Another idea came from the committee, again concerned about this Delmarva access area and whether it was really suitable to open it in 2014 or not. We went through this in much more detail at the committee level, but basically I was showing different figures showing the growth potential from this area and the different estimated sizes of the scallops from Delmarva, and they really are right at or below what would be the optimal time to open this area. So we had a lot of discussion about really what makes the most sense for Delmarva. So a motion was included to instead keep Delmarva closed. So another alternative the PDT has been spending a little time on would be to not open Delmarva in 2014, but again instead allow open area days to increase up to that 2013 catch levels. And finally, that alternative 3 that I was explaining before that would basically give the fleet the flexibility to choose whether they want to fish in Delmarva or not, originally the idea was that you'd almost treat Delmarva as an open area, meaning you'd use 5 days at sea in there and catch whatever you could in that amount of time. This started to raise concerns about administration, enforcement, and problems with trading trips and so forth, so ultimately it was felt the most conservative way to potentially help protect the scallops in that area as well, so you would know what would be removed would be to not allow days at sea to be used in Delmarva, but you would still have a possession limit. So this is a slight modification of the alternative, but it's an important change from the original alternative, which was that you'd use days at sea in Delmarva. So this is a third committee motion that's basically refining alternative 3 and turning it into a normal access area trip rather than this flexibility to use days at sea in there or not. There were some concerns that, well, maybe that would actually increase effort in the area, which is not what would be intended. So based on these motions, basically following that meeting, the PDT did a little bit of initial work trying to develop a couple alternatives in the spirit of these motions. So I have a little bit of information to provide today. I maybe won't spend a lot of time on it because of the hour. But basically there's 3 different alternatives that we've developed so far. The first one would be very close to the motion itself, which would be basically to let the open areas increase. And the level that brought you up to 2013 catch levels is 31 days at sea. So you'd go from 23 days up to 31. So that's essentially an 8-day increase. And that would bring you about 6.5 million pounds more than the standard alternative 2. Another option that the PDT kind of developed, this one is not directly from a committee motion, could be included or not, the same with any of these alternatives, would be to kind of come down from that a little bit. When we were looking at sort of these trade-offs of bringing some catch for 14, but not causing too much of an impact on days at sea for 2015, this alternative was a little bit more of a compromise, if you will, and it brings the days at sea up to 28 for the first year, and it only costs you a day for 2015. So we were kind of trying to balance that first year, second year issue a little bit more with this alternative. But it does only increase catch 4.5 million pounds instead of the previous one is 6.5. Alternative 6 is a mirror of the committee motion to keep Delmarva closed. When you keep Delmarva closed, you have to increase open area F even higher to provide that additional catch. So that would bring it up to 37 days at sea. So you see there's a pretty wide range of potential difference in specifications from these three different ideas. And the PDT has done an initial look at some of these things. It is very preliminary. We did need to shift focus to the habitat amendment. It was clear from the committee meeting that that was the priority for the scallop PDT. We have been planning to do quite a bit of work, which you now have for this meeting for Wednesday. The scallop PDT has spent several weeks more recently doing some analysis, so we did definitely shift away from this stuff for a little bit, but I do have some summary tables to show you to give you a sense of whether these, in your opinion at this point, should be included for additional consideration or not, kind of help you make that decision. This is a brief comparison. The ones on the top in red are already in Framework 25. The ones in green down below are basically the three new ones that I just walked through from the committee motions. And you can see a comparison of the projected catch, the estimated revenues based on our same cost models that the PDT uses, a comparison of the total F, and that's the resource overall, all areas open or closed. You can see with the new alternatives, the total F does increase from roughly 0.17 to somewhere in the ballpark of 0.2 for the three different alternatives. Again, the kind of the back trigger that cannot exceed 0.28, so just keep that in mind, that 0.28 is our target and nothing could go over that. So all of the alternatives on the table are still below that, still far below it. But we do have a tendency to underestimate that, and we have pretty consistently, so these are things to keep in mind. The open area F is really where things differ. No surprise, you increase days at sea, you're going to increase your open area F, and this is trying to give you a description of just how much you would be pushing those open areas under the different allocation scenarios. So now we're kind of more in the ballpark of 0.5 to 0.6, actually, for those three different alternatives. Again, we don't have to go through these in a lot of detail. We're trying to give you a sense of the long-term impact. So that would be basically your year one. That's your trade-off. You would get that additional catch in year one, and this page is trying to give you a little bit of a sense of the cost. This table instead is for 2015 in the first column. It shows you that pretty immediate reduction in days at sea that would be required in the next year to basically make up for that those higher catches in the first year. In some cases, the newer alternatives really are just one day at sea lower. As I mentioned, alternative 5 is just one day at sea lower than your basic run under alternative 2. And some of them go up to 3 days at sea. That would basically need to be brought down in 2015. The scallop PDT also has a model that allows you to look further into the future, and the long-term projections for days at sea, those are all years combined, so it's not really a very, accurate number. Things change every few years, but it's trying to give you a comparative way to compare the total days at sea that would be allocated to the fishery all the way through 2027 to give you a sense of the longer-term impacts, as well as the associated catch and revenue estimates as well. So in a very brief, nutshell, the newer alternatives highlighted in green potentially over the first 2 years would give you this 2 to 4 million pound addition. And compared to in the longer sense, which is in the last bullet, alternative 3 followed by alternative 2 do give you more days at sea long term about 20 million pounds higher than the other alternatives, and with those associated revenues with that as well. So we've been in this place before. Certainly there are things you need to balance for short-term and long-term, but these are trying to kind of get at that, and we would continue to explore these further in the framework if they're included. Very quickly, the other place besides open area F, it's very related. You see the changes in area swept and bycatch. The models that the Scallop PDT uses also allows an estimate of bottom contact time and square nautical miles, an estimate for each of these scenarios, as well as an estimate of yellowtail and windowpane bycatch. So the PDT has provided some estimates, and, you know, no surprise, the basic run has about 2,000 square nautical miles of bottom contact time estimated, whereas the three new alternatives are higher than that. You have the higher days at sea. The catch rates will be lower. It will take vessels longer to catch scallops, and it's more days at sea on the bottom. So that does translate into potentially more bycatch. So you can see in some of these tables, I know it's hard to read, there's a range that's been provided based on different ways and different years that we can use to estimate the Georges Bank yellowtail and southern New England windowpane amounts. They're provided on the table, and you can see with the different scenarios the range of expected bycatch for next year. Again, we'll spend a lot more time on this as you're evaluating alternatives potentially later. But it gives you a sense of the scope of the potential increase when you increase days at sea. So as it's been mentioned, you do not have to select an alternative today. You should consider the committee motions and decide whether to include for further consideration alternative 4, 5, and 6, or perhaps something different. And I think I'm going to just finish, we were saying, and not break for motions. I only have two more slides, I think. Again, these are two committee motions related to refining the Delmarva access area measures. These were originally came up through the advisors. They are additional restrictions on the fishery to help reduce overall mortality in that area, basically prohibiting RSA fishing, as well as limiting the fishing access to a particular season, which is expected to be the time of year that would have the lowest impact on yield per animal. The fewest animals would be harvested for the same catch, basically, during the summer. And while these are more restrictive than we generally do for access areas, the industry was supportive of them at the AP meeting the day before, as well as having a crew limit. And having a crew limit in the access areas, if you recall, has been lifted for access area trips. But the thought was to revert back to that for Delmarva to get rid of any incentive to high-grade the smaller scallops in that area. So those are two more committee motions related to that. And finally, these are the two letters that Mary Beth mentioned. If we have time, we can get into them. They were passed by consensus by the committee to send some follow-up letters to the agency.
Thank you for turboing through that. Questions for Dee? Terry?
So, Dee, on the PDT memo to the Ground Fish Committee, I was looking at the tables for the bycatch, yellowtail bycatch, and the using 2013 numbers, are those more realistic, or is it the 2012 numbers that are more realistic, do you think? Probably 2013 with the bycatch avoidance program in place, is that right?
Trying to get to the slide for everybody else. Here you go. I don't have the memo in front of me. I'm sorry. I don't recall. I don't think the Scallop PDT really picked a year that was better than the other. Certainly the 2013 ones are more recent, but because the fishery changes spatially each year, it really depends on where the observers were observed and if it was more in closed area 2 or not, or more in the open areas and which seasons. So it's kind of better to think about it as a range. But I would note that the second year, the rate did drop quite a bit. I believe it was half of what the rate was from the year before. what that's exactly from. The Scallop PDT didn't really speculate what that could be, whether the bycatch avoidance helped. You would hope. Is it that there's less yellowtail around? That was discussed as well.
Jim.
Yeah, thank you. I had a question about the different alternatives, and I know that the PDT probably, they have a lot of models that I don't know all the details, but I know that when the last time this was in the SARC, a really positive note that came out of it was that in selecting a fishing mortality rate for the stock, there was consideration of the probability of overfishing as well as the loss in yield that would occur. And for all of these alternatives, the way you described them, I really didn't get a sense of how the alternatives might vary in the loss in yield going forward. Presumably, if you're increasing days at sea in a particular area, that may be harvested before it would optimally be harvested. Those are the things that I'm thinking about, and I'm wondering if those alternatives actually, if you've already considered that.
Sure. Thanks for the question. We haven't considered them very fully, but we do have, you're correct, the models would give an annual estimate of catch, and you can compare. Here I just showed you not year by year, but for the sum of 2014 through 2027. That would be toward the middle, the third column from the left, the sum of catch landings for all those years combined under the different scenarios. So as an example, alternative four, the one with the higher open area F, would be 722 metric tons over that entire time period compared to the basic run of 728. So that over all of the years combined is basically your difference in landings over time, if that was your question. But in terms of a much more sophisticated analysis of compared to the risk of overfishing, this is just the beginning. We will do more of that if they're actively in the document.
David. Pierce.
Okay, Deirdre, I think what you're showing us is that the majority of the alternatives that we have in this framework are alternatives that would likely result in Georgia's Bank yellowtail flounder catch by the Scarlet Fleet in excess, and in some cases far in excess of what would be allocated to them in the upcoming fishing year, correct? So, in other words, can we assume from what you provided us so far that indeed Georgia's Bank yellowtail flounder will be a major choke species for the Scarlet Fleet on Georgia's Bank?
Sure. I mean, I don't think you needed these numbers to know that, you know, since back when the decisions were made of what the allocation would be. In green, 50.9, basically 51 metric ton, that's been known to be the case. And you're right, any of the scenarios, the older, you know, the original ones or the new ones, are all in excess of that based on our projections. And there's a lot of assumptions in those, which we're familiar with. We talk about them every year. That's based on, you know, if people fish where we think they're going to fish, and if the rates are the same as they were the year before, and so forth. But yes, these numbers would tell you probably that there's a pretty good chance it's going to be within or over the sub-ACL allocation, provided everything is what's been estimated to be.
Tom.
Joe, just on the same point, could you walk us forward so we're all aware what the impacts would then be? So I think almost all of these alternatives, apart from the no action, would at least include in their range 50% greater than the sub-ACL, which is one of the two automatic triggers for the AM. So the scallop sub-ACL, if exceeded by 50%, would trigger the AM. Many of these would look like they would put us in a position, potentially put us in the position that the overall ACL would also be exceeded, depending on the groundfish catch. Could you sort of walk us through the accountability measures in place now and when we would expect to see them and at what range we would expect direct impacts on the groundfish sub-ACL for yellowtail flounder?
Sure, I can try. So if, again, assuming it succeeded in 2014 by the scallop fishery, let's just say more than 50% so that we know it would happen, then, again, you'd have to wait until the final estimate from NIMS is available, which is uncertain, and, you know, you couldn't be sure when that would happen. So the way it's written, I believe, is the next fishing year after that's available, the seasonal restrictions for statistical area 562 would be closed to the scallop fishery, whatever that final fishing year is. Let's, again, assume it's 2015, but if things are not all totally ready, it could be the following fishing year. So let's assume it's ready and you can tell right away that it's going to be exceeded. Then 2015, that area would be closed for some period of time based on the overage. Let's assume it's the worst case. It would be the full fishing year, which would be closed area 2 south access area, and any part of 562 that's in the open areas would be closed to the scallop fishery.
Understanding that we do these scallop specifications annually, how confident are we in where the fleet is going to be in 2015 and 2016, and therefore what the proportional impact on an AM will be for yellowtail in those years, in those out years?
So we won't be sending 15 yet. So how much that drives our decisions and where we send the scallop fishery, I wouldn't really want to guess. In terms of just what's the biomass that's there, there would not be a huge amount of access likely allocated to the scallop fishery in closed area 2 south in 2015. There may be some, but it wouldn't be anywhere close to a full trip for the fleet or even half of a trip, just based on the biomass that's there. There may be some in the open areas, but the vessels could choose to fish somewhere else in probably equivalent catch rates.
Sorry, these are somewhat complicated, and they'll have pretty significant impacts, I think, on the groundfish fishery out on Georges and the scallop fishery potentially. How would this AM interact with the pound-for-pound payback for U.S. Canada that we're operating under? So, for instance, in the likelihood, I think, of a significant overage, we're bound by the Georges Bank yellowtail pound-for-pound payback under the agreement. If, in the event that the scallop fleet is fishing somewhere else and we're not realizing that any significant payback, how would that impact the other fleet and impact our agreement on yellowtail?
I probably don't want to answer that, but I will just remind folks that when we did implement these AMs, there was sort of a max amount of almost return you could get from that 562 area, and it was a pretty wide range depending on the access that the fishery had. So I think I don't have the numbers in front of me, but in the ballpark of, you know, 6% reduction or 15% reduction, I think was on the high end of that was the most amount of payback you'd be able to in terms of a pound for pound type of thing. But in terms of how that would trickle down and affect the groundfish fishery, I'd rather somebody else answer. I'm not sure.
So just and I'll stop here, but just understanding these numbers, it's possible, very possible perhaps, that we'll exceed the amount that we'll be able to pay back pound for pound with the scallop AM, and that will impact or have to have impacts on our groundfish fishery in that following year. And the only reason I think, if I understand correctly, the only reason we can avoid that is if Georges Bank yellowtail are actually more depleted than we think they are. It's just, I'll stop because I know we're on a limited time horizon, but that seems like we're getting ready to drive ourselves off a cliff.
John.
Deirdre, thanks for trying to get an awful lot of information in a short amount of time. The metaphor that I've heard from the industry and others that I subscribe to is trying to use 2014 as a bridge from 2013 to 2015. And in the tables, it's hard for me to understand how the bridge works. As I conceptualize it, it would be that a bridge would take us from landings of about 38 million in 2013 to a number in 2015 that would presumably be higher. And so do all of these alternatives fulfill that concept of a bridge, that is, where 2014 might produce something that is either equal to 2013 or maybe a little bit less, but they get you to 2015 at a higher number than 2013? So you're getting to a higher number where you're protecting 2015?
When you say all of them, you mean the new ones, 4, 5, 6?
All six.
So the new ones in green, the alternatives 4, 5, and 6 that the committee's recommending do that. See, the first column is 38 million, which is the same, essentially slightly lower than the projected catches from 2013, and alternative 6 is essentially the same as well. Alternative 5 comes back off of that a little bit, and as I was saying, that one was an effort by the PDT to kind of help reduce that reduction you would need in 2015 in terms of days at sea. So all three of them would, you know, be within this bridge, meaning between, you know, around 38 million to the original projections for 2015, primarily because the Mid-Atlantic access areas are going to open, are going to jump you right back up to the high 40s, you know, mid 40s, 45 to 50 million pounds in 15. The original ones in the document right now, as you see, are lower than the 13 fishing year. They're at 32 million.
So my question is, those are the landings projected for 2014. And when you get to the next page, which shows the days at sea for 15, that do all of those lead to landings that would be in excess of 38 million?
Yes.
Other questions, Mike?
Yes, as I understand it, one of the goals or objectives is to avoid growth overfishing. And I'm assuming that 0.38 in the open areas is the level beyond which growth overfishing would occur. Is that the basis for that particular number?
It's the MSY for the resource, 0.38.
But an MSY based on FMAX, I assume. Now, that so we are exceeding that according to some of these newer alternatives, and that's why in the longer-term projections those newer alternatives give slightly less yield. My presumption is, though, that the difference is not as great as I would have anticipated, and that's because the calculation of FMAX is an equilibrium calculation, and the animals that are in the open areas are probably already of a larger size than would be associated with equilibrium. I'm just trying to understand the numbers. Okay. All right. Then that clarifies in my mind why the numbers are the way they are, and it makes sense to me, so thank you.
Okay, we've got about 15 minutes until we're going to adjourn for the day. Does anyone in the audience have a burning question? Seeing none, Mary Beth, you're up.
All right, so a little change of plans here, and I just want to say it out loud and see if Deidre agrees, but the motions 4 and 5 are more, not exactly housekeeping motions, but I think that it's not a major change in our approach, whereas the other ones reflect that. So I'm thinking we will just not bring those forward today they will be part of the framework that comes back in January. So on Deirdre's presentation on slide 11 and slide 12, if people want to refer to that, there are three different motions, and I think, again, in for timing here, I'm going to combine them, so this will not be a motion on behalf of the committee, but so I would move that the council recommend that the SCALP committee continue in the adoption or the development of Framework 25 by including Motion 1, Motion 3, and Motion 2A. And for the record, Motion 1 is add a specification alternative in Framework 25 to adopt AP motion. The AP motion states that the SCALP AP recommends the committee add an alternative to draft Framework 25 document that modifies for the 2014 fishing year the 0.38F limit for open area fishing included in the overfishing definition approved in Amendment 15. The overfishing definition for open area 2014 be set at a level that, according to a model run, will allow total projected catch for 14 to be similar to 13, projected catch not to exceed an overall F of 0.28. Motion 3 reads, add a specific option of Framework 25 that includes closing Delmarva for 2014 in combination with a higher open area F target. And Motion 2A, modify Alternative 3 so that it would include 23 days at sea per full-time vessel with one 12,000-pound trip in the Nantucket Lightship or Coast Area 2, and either one 12,000-pound trip in Delmarva, or two 5 days at sea in open areas. And so I will remind everyone that these three combined motions were unanimous at the committee. We spent a lot of time on them, and it's not the last crack at we're not making final decisions here. Deirdre also, in her presentation, noted that the PDT had an opportunity to look at these and came up with alternatives. And her question for us today is, do we accept the alternatives based on these motions and my motion? Not a committee motion would be that yes, we would. So if that's clear, Deirdre, the way I presented that, please let me know if you had any questions. So I would need a second for that motion.
Second.
We have a pile of seconds. I saw Dave Preble's hand up first. Committee discussion. Is there need for discussion? Audience? It's Drew. I'm going to put the clock on you.
I won't start with the lie that I'll be brief, but I will be brief. Drew Minkiewicz, Fisheries Survival Fund. Just wanted to thank the work of the agency, on the record here, the agency, the PDT, and staff on coming up with these new alternatives. It's been a collaborative process with the industry. It's been a positive process. Just want to put that on the record, and we support this motion. Thank you.
Anybody else? Back to the council. Mike.
I think this is clear from what Mary Beth had to say, but I just want to make sure that, as I understand it, the option 5 that was presented is covered by this motion, even though it was derived by the PDT, it wasn't strictly from the committee, but it is included.
That certainly was my intent, Mike.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's clear. Thank you.
Any further council discussion? Tom.
There was an issue, Deirdre. I just want to make sure that it's covered. There was an issue discussed and voted on by the AP in terms of the GenCat allocation in Delmarva. Would that continue to be forwarded in this?
Yep. Thanks for the question. That was an issue, and I went through it very quickly in my presentation. That was more of a problem if potentially Delmarva was treated with days at sea, because it was more uncertain how much effort would actually happen there, and it would be more difficult to maintain the GenCat 5% of an unknown amount of catch. So that was an AP motion that came up when we weren't sure how Delmarva would be treated as days at sea or with trips. But the next day, when the committee basically clarified with Motion 3, 2A, that it would not be available to the limited access fleet in days, and it would only be trips, it actually, that issue kind of goes away, because we know the maximum potential that could be taken out of that area, and if anything, actually, if some vessels choose not to fish there and all of the GenCat trips are allocated, it could ultimately be a higher percentage for that area. So that we don't have to deal with that motion.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, considering the motion on the board, those who support the motion on the board, please indicate so. It's 17-0-0. The motion passes. Mary Beth.
So that pretty much would conclude my committee report. I just have one last thing to say, and that is the concerns raised about the yellowtail estimates that were in Deirdre's presentation. And I think we've all been concerned about yellowtail for some time. And I thought the most deliberate way to really review that was to have the information available for the scallop catch for 2014, and we did not have that earlier in the year, and that there be some consideration of framework 51 of some number other than the preset percentage. And when I brought this up the last time we discussed framework 51, the previous speaker who just spoke to his concerns about this was adamantly opposed to any consideration in framework 51 of a number that was not a preset in a percentage before we had a chance to develop any alternatives for the scallop framework. So it's a concern, and I would just ask people to keep that in mind when we get to framework 51 tomorrow.
So that concludes your report. Super.
We'll just do the letters in January.
Yeah, they didn't seem to be time sensitive, so I thought we could bring it forward in January. It's only about 4 weeks out now.
Well, thank you, Mary Beth, Deirdre, and Scallop Committee. That brings us to the conclusion of today's business. Business.